Turn over first to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13. Now, just to kind of back up a little bit, especially for those of you listening to this by tape, all of what I've been teaching here on worship the last few weeks, it's going to be put together as a tape series. And it'll be available out there on the board in the next week or so. But this series, at first, I wasn't going to make it a series because it really relates more to what's going on here. However, there are other churches that are facing similar situations as ours. And what I'm specifically talking about, think back to how that I shared with you that Satan attacks in many different ways and how that there are a lot of attacks coming against people in this church. And they're very, very subtle attacks, the kind that many of the folks here don't realize that it's an attack of the enemy. It's like, well, okay, this is life, or this is the way things happen, or this is that. Just like, I'll give an example, not that this was one of those attacks, but I'll just use this as an example. Earlier in the service, Grace gave a testimony how that she was having problems with her knees and trouble walking and so on and so forth, and they took x-rays and all of this other. And she went to the doctor, and the doctor said, oh, you don't have any problems. It's just you know, part of aging, natural deterioration, et cetera, and so forth. Well, she got a report at first that indicated there may need to be surgery. But the latter report indicated, no surgery is necessary. And I'm not sure if the doctor gave an explanation as to why they thought such bad things were happening beforehand. And what's so sad is a lot of Christians would say, well, it was a misdiagnosis. Well, you say what you want, but I give all the credit to Jesus Christ for touching her knees. And these attacks, though, can be very, very subtle to where a doctor can say it's just a natural thing. See what I'm saying? In the lives of many people, they can look at some things that are happening and think this is just a part of life. And that is exactly what the enemy wants you to think. He wants you to be convinced that something happening is just a part of living. He does not want you to identify it as an attack. Because if you do, he then realizes that you will turn your attack on him, or should at least, and deal with this thing. So as long as he can keep it masked to look like just a part of life, he's got you. And that's what's been happening for a lot of people. Well, the reason I went ahead and just put this together as a series, I really sensed the Lord was leading me to do it because there are a lot of other churches that either are now or will, if they continue in the direction they're going, reach this point to where Satan changes tactics and certain attacks are a little more subtle than others. Nevertheless, we talked about how that, and I shared with you, that the Lord had impressed upon me that for us, a key to a breakthrough was worship. Now, that doesn't mean we dismiss praying, especially praying in the Spirit. It doesn't mean that we dismiss meditating, confessing the Word. It doesn't mean that we dismiss fasting or any of those other things. It doesn't mean that. What it means is that there needs to be a concentration on worship, and that worshiping was going to be a key to a breakthrough. Well, in the progression of the tapes in this series, it was on the tapes, one or two of them, the reference to what we were calling a worship revival. And on the tape, I mentioned how that starting on a Sunday night and going Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, and Wednesday night, we were going to come together and there wouldn't be teaching, there wouldn't be preaching. The entire services were going to be given over just to worshiping the Lord. And that's what we did. Now, as I'm recording this, for the benefit of the people listening to the tape, this is the Sunday morning after the worship revival. And There are some of you who have had some real breakthroughs in your life. Some of you will be able to identify later, as time goes on, you're going to be able to identify some of the things that have happened in your lives as a result of this, and some of the strongholds that have been removed, and some of the things that have changed in your life. Right now you may not notice it, but we've emphasized in this so much that worship is a spiritual thing, and so you've been worshiping, and you have been creating spiritual ripples, so to speak, in what's been happening in your life and in these attacks coming against you. In fact, here's a testimony. You remember Tuesday night as we were worshiping? I think it was Tuesday night. We were worshiping, and then toward the end of the service, right before we dismissed, I shared with you how I really felt that the Lord wanted us to... Anybody that was believing God for a manifestation of healing in their body, lift your hand. And a lot of people lifted their hands, and I said, okay, now, you all minister to each other, speak the word of God over them, and so on and so forth. Well, Charlie Knobloch, they're out of town today, one of his daughters, who is a swimmer, competitive swimmer, I think it was Naomi, I don't remember which one. Nevertheless, one of his daughters was out playing, and she fell and broke her arm. It was in a cast. And Tuesday night, they were praising. We were worshiping. And then at the end, you know, if you want prayer, lift your hand, so on and so forth. And so she was ministered to. And she looked up at her dad and she says, Dad, there's nothing wrong with my arm. And they took the cast off. She's healed. She's healed. Now, I don't mean to complain. You're supposed to rejoice when things like that happen. But, you know, it sure would have looked good if I had been the one that laid hands on. But, you know, really, as much as flesh and pride would want to say things like that, come on, let's be honest. We all would like it, you know. I laid hands. You see that? Well, the fact that it happened at a worship service. What does that say? What does that say? See, there are things that happen in worship that the body of Christ, sometimes we talk about, but I just don't know that we really believe it. And a lot of it has to do with the fact that this worship is a spiritual thing. It's become, in most churches that preach Jesus, it's become a singing thing. But it's supposed to be a spiritual thing. And we have been trained, most all of us that have been in church any length of time, really, we've essentially been trained to sing as opposed to worship. That's why Monday, Tuesday, Sunday through Wednesday night was a real challenge for some people, because there came a point in time to where you were on your own. You were responsible for worshiping out of your spirit. Now, let me, just for the sake of this teaching, I'm going to use a term called free worship. And I'll explain what I mean by free worship. People can call it whatever they want, but that's just what I'll be using today. When you hear me use the term free worship, I'm talking about at any point in time in a service, from the time we get here to the time we leave, where we are not using pre-written words and tunes to sing, to praise, and to worship, okay? Where the words are not flashed up on a screen, and we're singing to what has been provided for us. Free worship is when we are not using those things, but we are just worshiping. We are releasing out of our spirit our praise and love for the Lord, okay? So, does everybody understand what I mean when I say free worship? So that's what I mean when I say you're on your own. You don't have anybody supplying words for you other than your own spirit, if you will. That's free worship. And it was a real challenge for some people because of a lot of folks are not comfortable with that at all. Some people are. Some people aren't. Well, the question is, why aren't you comfortable with that? Why aren't you? It isn't that you can't make noise, because you can. why aren't you comfortable with free worship? If you're fine with when we get to a song, we're singing, you know, Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. And man, you're just cutting loose. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. You came from heaven to earth. And you hear, you're making noise. You see what I'm saying? But when that part's over and we get to the free worship, if there is a change in the volume, there's a reason for that. What's the reason? What's the reason? Why were you comfortable with the words that were pre-written and supplied to you? Why were you comfortable making sounds with those words and tunes? But when we hand it over to you on a silver platter and we say, okay, now, you take it from here, just begin to worship Him. Why are you suddenly uncomfortable making the same voluminous sound? I love you, Jesus. I love you, Lord. I praise you, Jesus. Glory to your name. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Why are you uncomfortable? What's wrong? All we've done is just change what we're singing. We're no longer giving you the words. We're saying, use your own. But there's no difference. Are you with me? You see what I'm saying in this? Why are you uncomfortable with that? What's wrong? Why are you uncomfortable with any kind of demonstration? Any kind. Why are you uncomfortable with lifting your hands way up, half up, quarter way up, one hand, half a hand? Why? Why are you... You don't mind when we supply a phrase on the screen to you that says, with my hands lifted up, okay? Or some other song has something like that, I will lift my hands, whatever. You're okay then. But again, when we hand it over to you on that silver platter, free worship, why suddenly is something different? Why do you instantly change? And you do, you know you do. Now again, please, don't anybody leave here and say, well, he's just trying to cut me down and he's just trying to make me feel... I'm not trying to make you feel bad and I'm not trying to cut you down. I'm simply trying to get you to ask yourself questions. Why is there a difference? Why? Why do you feel uncomfortable? Why is there a change in what you do? For some people, there's no change. In fact, for some people, they actually get more animated during free worship than they do the other. But for those that just back off, why? What is wrong? You saying, Brother Martin, I got something wrong with me? No, I'm not saying you got something wrong with you. What I'm saying is, we're talking about 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5, stronghold, imagination, and thought. That's what we're talking about. Because whatever reason that you can come up with that suddenly there's a change and now you're no longer, Lord, I lift your name on high, but I can't praise you on my own. Why? Now, the people that struggle in that area, and I know that many of you don't, most of you don't, I don't know. But if you struggle in that area, whatever reason you can come up with for that struggle is the stronghold, the thought, the imagination that Satan has been able to come in through the back door and try to influence you with. For some people, maybe it was your religious upbringing, whatever church you were raised in. You know, you were taught, don't do that. Get it. You went to a church that told you about Jesus and then they told you not to worship Him. Go figure. Maybe it's just because you're different. I don't mean weird. I mean you're just different. Some people just naturally aren't more, you know, demonstrative. And that's okay. However, let's not forget, if you're born again, we all have the exact same life and nature in us, and it came from God. So there's no difference in who we are in Christ. Okay? None. That nature, that spirit is in you. That born-again spirit, it's there. So we're all the same from that perspective. when Jesus said, worship him, and talking in John chapter 4, we talked about how that, they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth and so forth, and that the Father seeketh such to worship him, okay? When you're born again, you then fit into that category. And, some people would say things like, well, Brother Martin, when the Lord wants me to worship, then he'll move on me and I'll worship. No, he won't. You are Rano. That's like these people that say, when the Lord wants me filled with the Holy Ghost, he's just going to fill me with the Holy Ghost. No, he won't. Oh, yes, he will. Oh, no, he won't. Let me ask you something.
Well, he did on the day of Pentecost.
No, he didn't.
Yes, he did.
No, he didn't. What did Jesus say? He said, you receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Tarry ye in Jerusalem. They went to Jerusalem to wait for the Father to pour out the Holy Ghost so they could receive what the Father said they would receive. Power. Okay? What if they had gone to the Mount of Olives? Would it have worked?
No.
What if they had gone to Bethlehem? Would it have worked? No. What if they had gone to Antioch? Would it have worked? No. Jesus said, go to Jerusalem. So they went from where they were to Jerusalem. We have done what the Lord said to do so that we could receive. You with me? Did they receive? Yes. Okay. Likewise, when it comes to your praise and worship, God is not going to reach down and grab you by the arms and say, you're going to raise those arms whether you want to or not. Now wiggle them and praise me. And you'd be standing there in the service and all of a sudden, pew, pew, oh my God, what's happening? Oh, help me, somebody help me. Oh, please, Jesus, you're embarrassing me. Why would you be embarrassed? He's not going to do that. It won't happen that way. I'm going to show you some things in Scripture that will bear this out.
Well, but Brother Martin.
What?
I don't want to get in the flesh.
You don't? Okay. Let me ask you a question. I want every one of you in here right now, look at your hands. Okay? Yeah? Now, look at your feet. Now, look at your mouth. How many of you saw spirit? How many of you saw flesh? I don't know how to break this to you, but everything you do is in the flesh. What you're really saying is,
but Brother Martin, I don't want to get out of order.
Okay? So then, I want to make sure I understand. When it comes to free worship, you're of the opinion that it can get out of order. Is that right?
Yes, Brother Martin, it can.
Well, I agree with you that it can. But you know what? It's easier to manage what's out of control than it is to get somebody to press beyond the stronghold. Quite frankly, getting out of order is not the problem. Really? When a lot of people say that?
I don't want to get in the flesh.
They're trying to really sound holy.
Reverence, Brother Martin. Reverence for the Lord, respect and honor. He is Jesus. Hallelujah.
I don't want to get in the flesh. And so, to avoid getting in the flesh, I don't do anything. No, come on. Let's fess up, fess up. The truth of the matter is, when everybody around you is doing it, you're the one that sticks out. Have you caught on to that yet? Satan's got you thinking you're the only one that's making sense. But you're the only one that's sticking out. Everybody else is in the flesh with my hands lifted up and I will dance before the Lord. My mouth filled with praise. Everybody else is in the flesh. You're the only one that's not. So, who's out of order? Let's look at some things in here. You're in Hebrews chapter 13. Look at verse 15. It says, by Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Now, notice closely, there's nothing in this verse that says, and the day shall come when God shall reach down from heaven and grab you by the arms and lift them up and force your mouth to move and punch you in the stomach so that something comes out as praise unto Him. No, it says, by Him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips. Okay? So I'm the one that has the responsibility to offer this. You see what I'm saying? I offer it. He doesn't make me. I offer it. And the whole thing about, well, when God moves on me, then I'll do it. When He wants me to worship, then He'll move on me and I'll worship. No. No, think about what Jesus said in John chapter 4. Remember, He said, those that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth, and that the Father seeks such to worship Him. The Father seeks such. Okay? He's seeking. Now, let's just use, there's so much we could teach about John 4, 24 and 25, alright? I'm just going to, like, use it as an example, alright? The Father seeks such. Now, here's the image. Just capture this in your mind. God's up in heaven, and Jesus said the Father is seeking such that will worship Him in spirit and in truth. They that worship Him. Meaning, some might and some might not. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And He's talking about when you get born again, you worship Him out of your born again spirit and all. They must do that. The Father is seeking people to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Now, using this imagery, here's God in heaven. He's the Father. Now, He's looking down on earth. And He is seeking for people who will worship Him in spirit and in truth. If He was going to make people do it, why seek? If He was going to make people do it, He wouldn't have to look. He'd just take whatever group just happens to be there at the moment and just whoosh, hit them with some power to where they become little robots. And nothing they do is going to change. Their bodies will just start doing all kinds of stuff. What are you doing? Worshiping. Why? Don't know. It's something got all over me. I'd rather be standing here, you know, acting like nothing. You know what I'm, you know, just, but I can't help it. It's just all over me. Whoo, look at that. My arms going up all over. Oh my goodness. It got down to my feet. Look at me. I feel so dumb, but I can't stop. I can't stop. Oh Jesus, please turn me loose. If He was going to make people do it, they would just do it. You see what I'm saying? He wouldn't have to seek somebody, but He's seeking. That means He's looking for people who will worship Him by choice. And as I said, there's so much, you know, that we could really detail in those verses. But I'm trying to create an image in your mind that God is not going to just do it and force you to do it. And here in Hebrews, it says, we are the ones to offer. That we do. We offer it. We offer it. It's not something He pulls out of you. It's not something He forces out of you. It's something that we do. We choose. We offer it. Now, I'm going to take you back to turn to Psalm chapter 7. And we're going to walk through a bunch of Scripture. In 2 Samuel chapter 6, you don't turn to it, just go ahead and turn to Psalm 7. In 2 Samuel chapter 6, it talks about how when the ark was being brought in, and it talks about how that the people were praising and they were singing and they were playing the instruments and all that. The ark's coming to town, and David, he had taken off his kingly attire, and he was dancing and jumping and just praising and worshiping. And his wife, Michal, made fun of him, and she criticized him for doing that. And he said, hey, listen, I'm sorry, but I'm going to do this because we've got the presence of God, the ark. You know, we're in the presence. Here comes God, the ark, and all, and I am going to do that, and I'm sorry, ma'am, if this embarrasses you, but I'll get even worse than this. Because it's not about me. It's not about me being the king of Israel. It's about him being the king of the universe. It's about him being the king of creation, about him being God. That's what it's all about. And then over there in 2 Chronicles chapter 5, where it talks about how the priests and the singers and the musicians, they were all in one accord. They were all as one, praising, worshiping the Lord. They're saying, you know, praise the Lord, His mercy endureth forever and ever. And the glory of the Lord filled that temple. David used his body. You see what I'm saying? Now, I'll guarantee you this, there are a lot of people that would have accused David of being in the flesh. His wife did back then. But today, in our services, there would be a lot of people that would accuse David, or anybody else that would do such a thing as being in the flesh.
But did you see them acting up like that? My God in heaven, I'll never come back to this church, and I hope they don't either.
There are a lot of people that will accuse others of being in the flesh. Well, you're just, it's you, it's not the Lord. Of course it's you. Who else is doing this? Who else is making this noise? It's you. If it was God, you know what we would, hey listen, let me tell you, if it was God, do you know what we would hear coming out of your mouth? I praise me, I love me, I worship me, I adore me. If it was God. I am the King of Kings. I am the Lord of Lords. Hallowed be my name. But it's you. It's you. It is you. You're the one that's offering the sacrifice of praise, the fruit of your lips. You're the one that's doing that. So, you know, this thing about, well, you know, that ain't God. That's you. Yeah, it's me. I'm glad it is me. I don't want anybody else taking my place. It's me. I'm doing it. Now in Psalm chapter 7, let's start taking a look at some things here. Verse 17. Now, we're not going to be, there's so much we could look at. We're going to hit some highlights. Verse 17. I will praise the Lord according to His righteousness and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. What are you seeing here? The Lord maketh me to sing praise. And no, He says, I will. Now, you see this word, I will praise the Lord according to His righteousness and will sing. You see that word sing? You can do your own Hebrew research later if you want to, but I'll just clue you into something. This word sing is not talking about silently. Okay?
Now, you worship God in your way and I'll worship God in my way. Well, how are you going to worship Him? Like this?
No. I will praise. I will sing. I will do it. I will do it. Look in Psalm chapter 9, verse 1. I will praise Thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all Thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in Thee. I will sing praise to Thy name, O Thou Most High. You see this? I will. Now, let me just... Well, I'll throw this in a little bit later on. But do you see this? He says, I will be glad and rejoice in Thee. I will sing praise to Thy name. I will praise Thee. I will show forth all Thy marvelous works. Verses 1 and 2 in here is talking about an outward demonstration of something directed toward the Lord. You see this? All right, let's go to another place. Turn to chapter 21. He says in verse 13, Be Thou exalted, Lord, in Thine own strength, so will we sing and praise Thy power. So we've gone from I will to we will. In other words, now let's bring it home for us today. Oh, by the way, in case you've forgotten, a lot of what is written in Psalms, really about the majority of it, is prophetical for the body of Christ. Just take some time and meditate on the entire book of Psalms. I know it's a long one, but you'll see it. He says, We will do it. I will do it. We will do it. I will do it. We will do it. So in other words, an outward demonstration somehow, regardless of what you want to call this demonstration, singing, dancing, hands lifted, whatever, an outward demonstration of some kind is not just for you when you're alone, but it's also for you when you are together with other people. See? Now let's go forward. Turn to chapter 22, beginning in verse 22. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye the seed of Jacob, glorify him and fear him. All ye the seed of Israel. For he hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, neither hath he hid his face from him. But when he cried unto him, he heard. My praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear him. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek Him. Your heart shall live forever. Do you see all this? What I will do. I will do this. I will do this. I will do this. Now let's look. In 22, he says, declare thy name. I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the congregation while I praise thee. So here we have a group setting. You say, well, what's he talking about here? Well, as we would relate this to what we're calling free worship, this is what that verse could be describing. I'm in the congregation, and everybody's around me, in front of me, behind me, beside me, whatever, but I'm praising the Lord and singing to, Lord, you are great, you are worthy of praise, and I glorify you. You are my Savior. You are my Redeemer. You've given me life, and I praise your holy name. I love you. In other words, I am declaring outwardly before everybody else, whether they listen to me or not, you see. I mean, they may be caught up in their own worship, but what I'm getting at is this is an outward thing. You can't do something like this before other people if you're not doing it before other people. And you can't do it before the brethren if there are no brethren with you. All right? Now, look at another place in here. He says, in verse 26, the meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek Him. Look at that phrase. They shall praise the Lord that seek Him. They shall praise the Lord that seek Him. Let's leave the grammar intact, but rearrange it. They that seek Him will praise Him. They that seek Him will praise Him. Now, based on what we see in the Word, all right? The Word. If you have a problem with what I'm getting ready to say, take it to the Word and take it to the Lord. We just saw it right here. We just read it, okay? How can you say you're truly seeking God if you do not worship Him? Based on the Word, all right? They that seek Him worship Him. They that seek Him will praise Him. Now, could it be that people who make these statements, oh, I just don't feel God anymore. I just don't know where He is. I feel like He's left me. I feel like He's abandoned me. I feel like He's nowhere around. Oh, God, where are you? Pastor, would you just pray for me so that I'd feel God once again? You know, when people say things like that to me, the flesh wants to slap them in the head and say, you know, would you just grow up? You whiny little snivelly thing. Grow up. Flesh doesn't do that though. I keep it under control. You know, if you worship the Lord, I can't feel Him. Worship Him. Worship Him. They that seek the Lord will worship Him. You'll praise Him. You will. And people that say, I'm seeking God, I'm seeking God. Is it possible, that things we've been seeking God for, answers we've been trying to receive, directions we've been trying, is it possible that we have not received from God things we're seeking because we don't praise Him? Is it possible? I say, yeah, it is. Based on this right here, they that seek Him will praise Him. Based on the Word. Okay? Based on the Word. Now, turn over to chapter 28. In chapter 28, verse 2 says, hear the voice of my supplication when I cry unto thee, when I lift up my hands toward thy holy oracle. Verse 6, blessed be the Lord, because he hath heard the voice of my supplications. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song will I praise him. And with my heart is rejoicing in him. Okay, think of it this way. They worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. I'm born again. I now have a spirit that's capable of worshiping Him. So, inwardly, I have the spirit that's capable of doing that. But outwardly, it's my mouth that releases it. You see what I'm saying? And he talks about with my hands lifted up. With my hands lifted toward you, O God. So, just at this point, what is the problem with you lifting your hands, not because the song says so, but because you want to? Because you choose to. Is there a problem with that? I mean, well, Brother Martin, I don't do it. Okay, why not? Again, think to yourself, why do these things not happen when you're worshiping the Lord? Well, Brother Martin, you're just trying to create a bunch of robots, a bunch of clones, make everybody act like you. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. Do you see my name in here? What we've read so far? Thus saith the Lord, thou shalt copy Brother Martin. No, that's not in here. What we're doing is we're seeing a pattern in God's Word. It's almost as though God is saying, look, you people have got a lot of hang-ups. So what I'm going to do is help you out. Do you want to know what it's like when somebody is really, truly worshiping me? Take a look at this. A mouth that is singing. Hands that are lifted. Feet. No, don't say it, Lord. That dance. Oh, God, no. Please, not the D word. Oh, Jesus.
I don't believe in all that dancing stuff.
Oh, wait till tonight. You are coming back, right?
Not now, Brother Martin. No.
Now look over in Psalm chapter 34. In Psalm 34, verse 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. How many of you know that if you're around somebody who has bad breath, it comes out? Why? Because it's in their mouth, right? If their feet stink, it doesn't come out their mouth. Right? That comes out of their shoes. But if they have bad breath, that comes out of their mouth. So if you have bad breath and praise, then doesn't it stand to reason that bad breath praise is going to come out of your mouth if it's in there? Now, I know, it's kind of silly, but you see what I'm saying. If it's in there, if it's in there, if, get this, if you're letting it come from your heart up to your mouth, it will be there and it will come out. You see, all right? All right, let's look at more. My praise shall continually be in thy mouth. Psalm 35. Take a look at verse 18. I will give thee thanks in the great congregation. I will praise thee among much people. Verse 27. Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. And my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise all the day long. Well, verse 18, he's in the great congregation. He says, I'll praise the Lord among much people. Now, you can talk about your praise and you can talk about your worship all you want, but what do you see in the Word? You see somebody that's not embarrassed to do it in front of other people. And now look at this. In verse 27, he says, let them shout for joy and be glad. Let them shout for joy and be glad. Let them shout for joy and be glad. They that favor my righteous cause. All right, are you in favor of righteousness? I mean, we could go on this one for, you know, two or three sermons easily. You're born again. You've been made the righteousness of God. Therefore, according to the Word, it is not improper to shout for joy and be glad. It's not improper. When's the last time you ever shouted? When's the last time you ever shouted? When there's a point in time in a service where there is a, I'll use this term, and please don't create doctrine out of it, okay? A shouting anointing, all right? And there is no such thing, okay? But what, you know what I'm saying, all right?
Pastor said a shouting anointing. Okay, I did not say that. Don't you go out.
But when people in the congregation are just, you know, glory to God, hallelujah, Jesus, and other people, oh, yeah, praise you, Jesus, and you stand there like, wow, what's gotten into these people around me? Phew, thank you, Jesus, I am not weird like that. How do you know but what God's looking at you saying, boy, you're weird? Everybody else doesn't have a problem shouting their joy. Oh, but maybe you don't have any joy. Let's look at this again. Let them shout for joy. Let's play with these words for a moment. Let them shout for joy. Are you despondent? Are you down and out? Down in the mouth? Hoof and mouth. Are you feeling bad? Do you need rejuvenation? Call 1-800, I got joy. Do you need joy in your life? Let them shout for joy. Let them shout for joy. Do you need joy?
Yeah, I need joy.
Shout. Why? Shout for joy. Waitress comes to my table and says, what would you like to drink? If I just look at her and go, she says, excuse me, sir. I want something to drink. Well, what do you want? I want something to drink. Well, what do you want? I want something to drink. See, this guy's weird. I have come into his presence to give him something to drink, but he won't do what's necessary to get it. The Lord says, I have come into your presence to give you joy. Shout for joy.
I just can't do it, Brother Martin.
Why not?
I don't know.
2 Corinthians 10:4 and 5. Stronghold, thought, imagination. Let them shout for joy. Let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in thee. Is it possible, just possible, that some of you who have been going through one financial problem after another, if you just start praising and worshiping the Lord, you could get a breakthrough in the area of your finances? Is it possible? Well, I mean, after all, it does say, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. Shout for joy. Shout for joy. Hallelujah. The Lord has pleasure in my prosperity. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Is it possible? Do you see what I'm trying to get at? I'm trying to show you is this. Satan attacks in a very subtle way. Is it possible that instead of crying out to God, please God, show me what's happening right now in these sermons, God's showing you. He's showing you how to get your breakthrough. He's revealing it to you. He said in the Word, you're not ignorant of Satan's devices. So in the Word, we're seeing these things. Is it possible that in all of this, we're missing it? Is it possible there's so many Christians, you haven't had a healing manifest in your body because you won't worship? Is it possible that you could go to your grave with this problem and get before God and ask Him, why wouldn't you heal me? And He looks at you and says, why wouldn't you worship me? You mean Brother Martin was right? No, son. No. My word was right. Amen. Brother Martin just agreed with it. Amen. See, it's not me that you're struggling with. It's the Word. It's the Word. Well, we're not done. Let's look at some more. Look over in chapter 40. And He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Now, without going into a whole lot of detail, this is prophetical of what Jesus was mentioning in John chapter 4. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. He's put a new song in my heart. How's that? Because I got a new heart, praise God. I've got a new heart. So in other words, out of your born-again spirit, pray, like it says in the Word here, praise is comely for those of us who love Him. Now turn over to verse or chapter 42. Chapter 42. Verse 4, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. Verse 11. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Now, do you see the contrast in here? Again, this is one of those powerful prophetical verses. It's a Christian conversing with himself. Spirit conversing with soul. And spirit is saying, what is wrong with you? Why are you depressed? Why are you all ate up? What's going on? Why are you disquieted? Why are you upset? Why are you down in the dumps? Why don't you want to do anything? What's wrong with you? Well, I'll tell you what, emotions. If you want to do that, you go right ahead and do that. But I am going to praise the Lord. You want to be depressed? You be depressed. But I am going to praise the Lord. And when I praise the Lord, I take over the body and I run this show and I lift my hands and I force those words out of my mouth and I praise Him and I worship Him. Let me see you stand up to that, soul. This is what he's describing here. A person who's going through the molly grubs and the Spirit says there is no reason for this. Amen. That's why when people come to me,
I'm depressed.
I'm going to give you counsel from the Word. And one of the things I'll tell you to do is to worship.
Oh, Brother Martin, you don't understand. I just can't worship right now. Devil stole my worship.
No, you didn't. No, he didn't. No, he didn't. No. Devil didn't see your worship. You're just a bonehead. The devil did not steal your worship. You just don't want to. What do you want me to do? I don't have a magic wand. I don't have fairy dust I can sprinkle on top of your head. I can't make gold dust fall from the ceiling. What do you want? God said, in His Word, He gave you an example. Soul, quit being a moron. I'm going to worship and drive depression to its knees. I will praise Him. I will praise Him. All right, let's look at another one. Psalm, take a look at chapter 50. Verse 23. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. And to him that ordereth his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth. How do we glorify the Lord, Brother Martin? You need to teach us how to glorify the Lord. No, I don't. You just need to read the Word of God. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. Whoso offereth praise. How can you glorify God? He is glory. How can you glorify God? How can you do that? Okay, this is another one of those prophetical type of verses. When Jesus was praying in John chapter 17, He said, Father, the glory You've given Me, I've given to them. And what He was talking about is our born-again spirit. We'll talk more about that tonight. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth Me. The moment that you get born again, the glory of God is deposited on the inside of you. You say, oh, you can't prove that, Brother Martin. Yes, I can prove that. Christ in you, the hope of
glory.
Very good. Christ in you, the hope of glory. His glory is deposited in you because His glory cannot be separated from His life. When you get born again, you receive the life and the nature of God. You have a born-again spirit with His life and His nature. Therefore, the glory of God is deposited on the inside of you. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth Me. In other words, whoso offereth praise releases from within them the glory that I have deposited in them. And as they begin to release that glory, it is coming out of them and is reaching the very throne room where I exist. Whoso offer, remember I shared with you the vision I had here a couple of weeks ago? How that when I was up here at the pulpit and everybody was worshiping the Lord and it was as though I had my eyes shut, but it was as though I could see You and I could see coming out of You as You were worshiping Him, like these streams that were coming out. The Lord said, that's the life and the glory that is in them through accepting Me as the Lord and Savior. When you worship Him, you're releasing that. When you worship Him, you are, put it this way, when you're worshiping Him, you are uniting your glory with His glory. your glory with His glory. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. So do you think that that's proper then to do that? Well, Brother Martin, if I could only see. Aha, Thomas. Blessed are they who see and believe, but blessed are they big time who don't see and believe. Just because you can't see it doesn't mean it's not happening. Just because you can't see it manifesting doesn't mean it isn't taking place. Look in Psalm 57. In Psalm 57, verse 7, my heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Awake up, my glory. Awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise Thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto Thee among the nations. For Thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and Thy truth unto the clouds. Be Thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let Thy glory be above all the earth. Boy, that sounds like I make a good song, doesn't it? Do you see what He's... I will do this. I will, among the people, I'll do this. I will sing. I will pray. In other words, I'm going to make noise. I'm going to make noise. And it's going to come out in a way that is discernible and understandable to people. I will sing among the people. Now, let's look at another place. Turn over to Psalm 63. Verse 3, because Thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise Thee. Thus will I bless Thee. While I live, I will lift up my hands in Thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise Thee with joyful lips. In other words, He's saying, my body won't control me. I will control my body. And as long as I exist, as long as I have my being, as long as there is anything about me that exists that is about me, I will praise You. I will do it. I will do it. Can you say that your life, just in our church services, let alone when you're away from the services, can you say that you meet this description? When we're here together, can you say you meet this? Are you worshiping Him? Are you making a sound? Free worship now. Are you doing it? Are you doing it? Let's look in Psalm chapter 69. Take a look at verse 30. I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify Him with thanksgiving. I will do it. Again, I will do it. Psalm chapter 98. In Psalm 98, take a look at verse number 4. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. You make it. He doesn't make it through you. You make it. You're the one that does this. Now, let me just stop right here and interject a few things very briefly. There are phrases in here where it talks about, I will be glad. Instead of it saying, I am glad, it says, I will be glad. I will rejoice. Not I do rejoice, but I will rejoice. Now here's what's interesting, and those are just a couple of examples, there are others. Those words, when you Hebrew them out, what they imply is not just somebody that's in a good mood, but it implies somebody who is just welling over with, I'll use this term, positive emotions, okay? It's just bubbling over. It's just gushing forth to the point that they can't contain it. And it begins to come forth in outward demonstrations of joy, happiness, gladness, and making of mirth. Now, how many of you have ever been around people that just... Here's an example. We took our grandson, Owen, down to Caesar Creek the other day. And now I walk with him into the water. First, he was kind of, well, he's just, you know, over 2 years, he's not 3 years old yet. And he's kind of, you know, he just wasn't too sure about that. Well, and eventually he got in the water and he's having a great old time. Well, I left, we went to the restroom for a few minutes, and I'm coming back. Well, he looked at her and he says, "Where's Papa?" He said, "Well, he's coming back." He says, "Well, I want Papa," like that. And she said, "Well, here he comes." And he looked and he saw me coming. And he got all excited. He went, "Ee!" You know how little kids can do it. I can't do that very well. Huh? We have to erase that one from the tape. But you know what I'm saying? All right? He was just overwhelmed. Oh, I mean, he was just so excited. Here comes Papa to get in the water with me again. Oh, wow. He couldn't contain it. Phrases, not every phrase, but many of the phrases, I will be glad, I will rejoice, not I am glad, a current state of existence, but I will be glad. Or in other words, what is in me is going to cause an outward demonstration. I can't contain it. In other words, I'm going to get in the flesh. I'm going to lift my hands. I'll boogie. Oh, Jesus. Just seen people at ball games when the team comes back and wins? People act like idiots. 30 degrees below. Take her clothes off. Woo! We won! Don't you ever do that in this church. That is out of order. Yeah, Jesus! Turn to chapter 104. Psalm 104. Verse 33. I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. In other words, as long as I have existence, I'm going to do that. Another way to put it, as long as I'm housed in this body, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. All right? You may not like it. You may be offended by it. May it go against the rules of your church. I am going to do this. Psalm 134. Behold, verse 1, behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. So what's the problem with lifting your hands? Maybe it's uncomfortable. You don't like raising them all the way up. Maybe you didn't like bathe or use deodorant. You just don't want your arms stretched all the way up. That's okay. But what's wrong with just like a little bit? What's wrong with that? Why? See, have you caught on what I'm getting at in all this? We are seeing something in Scripture that has to be in order before God, or it wouldn't be there. So, if you are doing these things, then you are fitting into what we see described in the Word of God. But, Brother Martin, I don't want it to be just me. You don't have a choice. I will lift my hands. I will raise my voice, sing. I will be glad and rejoice. I will. See, it's you choosing to do this. It's not God making you. It's you choosing to do it. Now let's take a look in Psalm 149. Praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song and praise and his praise in the congregation of the saints. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with the timbrel and the harp. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written, this honor have all his saints. See, God calls it an honor. Do you see that? God calls it an honor. In other words, it's like God says, hey, listen, you want to have a way to relate to me? I'm going to give you a way to relate to me that no other creature in existence can relate to me. I'm going to honor you with the ability to relate to me in the dance, to praise me and worship me in the dance, with your hands lifted up, to bless me, to honor me, to sing to me. I will honor you with this. And he says right there in the Word of God. So let me ask you this question. If you never do any of these things ever, if when it comes to free worship, you completely back off, how can you honestly say you're honoring the Lord? Based on the Word now, okay? Not me. Based on what we just read in God's Word. How can you truly say that you're honoring Him if you never do these kinds of things? Well, let's go forward. Turn over to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. It says in verse 14, 14 and 15. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. So, how can it be wrong to sing in the spirit? Do you see what He didn't say, when the Holy Ghost moves on me, I will do this. Do you see that? He says, I will do this. I will do it. I will sing with the understanding, and I will do something that David could never do. I will sing in the Spirit. I will do it. I, Paul, will do it. I will do it. Why will you do it that way, Paul? Well, the next verse talks about, because if somebody's near me that doesn't understand what I'm doing when I'm singing in tongues, praying in tongues, when I start singing with the understanding, they'll understand, ah, they were worshiping the Lord. He's praising God. He said, I will do it. I will do it. I will do it. And this one is really a stronghold in a lot of people's lives. For some reason, people are really uncomfortable. We're just, I worship you, Lord. Oh, how many of you started to get a little cold sweat running up and down your back when I did that? Embarrassed. How many of you do it? How many of you do it? How many of you do it? Again, see, this isn't tradition. Everything I've shown you today, it's right in the Word of God. It's right in there. Now, you may think it's out of order to sing in the Spirit. Paul didn't. And correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't all Scripture given by inspiration of God? So that means what he wrote in there was given by... That means God inspired Paul to write about singing in tongues. So why wouldn't you want to? What I'm getting at, we are going to continue this tonight. What I'm getting at is this. You can say, I don't want to get in the flesh, but everything we have read is in the flesh. But it's birthed out of your spirit. It's birthed out of your spirit. And you're the one that is choosing to lift your hands. You're choosing to sing it. Free worship. We're talking free worship now. You're choosing to say, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Lord. I glorify your holy name. Praise you, O Lord. Praise you, Jesus. I love you so much. You're everything to me, O Lord. I glorify you. I worship you, Jesus. I worship you, Jesus. You're choosing to do that. Now, based on what we've seen in God's Word, let's go back to a question we had at the beginning. If you're not doing this, why not? If you don't lift your hands in any way, shape, or form, if you don't join in with the free worship, if your volume almost becomes none or does become non-existent when it's time for free worship, why? Why is that? According to what we've seen in God's Word, why do you back off? No condemnation. As I said, I am trying to motivate you to think about what's going on in your own life to try to help you to identify strongholds that Satan has very subtly been able to stick in your life. Because he's not as concerned about people that just sing a bunch of songs loudly or whatever. What does concern him is when you begin to worship him out of your spirit and you're given the opportunity for what we call free worship. That really causes him concern. So, if he can keep you bound up with strongholds, imaginations, and thoughts where you won't do it, he's holding you back. He's holding you back. Well, Brother Martin, are you sure about that? Well, how much more convincing do you need? Out of everything that we've seen in the Word of God. What amazes me is how I can walk through messages like this and I can take you to all of these verses and show you. And then it's like some people act as though I'm making this up. That I'm trying to create a tradition. I'm just showing you what God has declared in His Word. Oh.
But that's Old Testament.
I get it. It was okay for them to do that back then, regardless of the prophetical nature of what David wrote. It was okay for them to do that back then, but now. Oh, now. We're born again. We've got to keep it under control. Just how active do you think David would be if he would have been if he could have been born again? Filled with the Holy Ghost? Well, like I said, we're going to pick up on this tonight. Boy, I've got some neat stuff to show you too. Some really neat stuff to show you in the Word tonight. And we're going to continue along with this same theme. I guess you could say this message continues tonight. So for now, go ahead and stand up.